This reading I'm going to give you this morning, it's from Isaiah chapter 54. It's talking to folks in the congregation. It's talking to me, it's talking to you, it's talking to us all. And it's asking us to start reflecting about our spiritual children. Where are our spiritual children? Are you aware of your spiritual children? Are you aware of the people that you have brought to faith by your witness, by your life, by your example? The people that you have mentored in your life, are you aware of them? And some of you are sitting there and you're saying, Albert, I don't know. I'm not too sure. I would love to think I have, but I'm not too sure. Listen to this reading, because I think this is where this reading is about. It's not about people who don't have children. It's about people who have never had spiritual children. And listen to it. It says, sing, O barren, thou that... This is reading from the King James Version, because every week we're reading a verse, a section from the King James Version to remind ourselves that it's the 400th anniversary of the King James Bible. So the language is a bit quaint, but sometimes it's very powerful. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not hear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travel with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine inhabitants. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. That's a reading I'm going to be preaching about shortly. Then the second reading is found in Philippians chapter 4, verses 16 to 19. Philippians chapter 4. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent me. For they are fragrant offerings, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. A reading about God supplying our needs. And finally, a reading about when God has given us resources, a reading that can be misunderstood a little bit, but a reading that's saying, if a manager who has misused these resources is clever enough to know how to live after he might lose his job, so you who are Christian people and those of you who have been given resources need to be even more cleverer than the smart manager. We need to use our resources to the very best extent. So, this is part of this parable. Jesus told his disciples, there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, what is it that I hear about you? Give an account of your management because you can't be a manager any longer. The manager said to himself, "What shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do, so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses." So he called in each one of his master's debtors, and he asked the first, "How much do you owe the master?" 800 gallons of olive oil," he replied. Then the manager told him, "Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 400. Then he asked the second, "And how much do you owe?" 1,000 bushels of wheat," he replied. Then he told him, "Take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. "For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it's gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been worthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? So no servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." The Pharisees, who loved money, heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. He said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men, but God knows your heart. What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight." Amen, and may God bless this reading to us from his word, and to his name be praise and glory. I've entitled this sermon this morning, "Stepping into the Water." I think I've decided to call it that because if we're going to make any difference in the world, if we're going to do anything, sometimes we need to step into the water. We need to make the first steps. And sometimes stepping into the water can be a challenging idea. Sometimes if there's a swimming pool and it's pretty cold, the only way to get on with it is to dive in. And in diving in, your body temperature gets to the right temperature eventually. So that's why I was thinking about this theme this morning, stepping into the water. Let's bow our heads in prayer. God our Father, this morning, will you come and send your Holy Spirit to speak to us, that we might hear your word and be inspired by it. For we pray these things through Christ our Lord. Amen. I suppose the aim of this sermon this morning is to encourage and inspire all of us to take the next step of faith in our Christian lives. The next step that perhaps asks us to develop resources that are needed in order that ministry might begin to grow and develop further in our congregation. And I think what I want to do is in this sermon is to show how God invites his people to step forward in faith. He almost invites us to take the faith step in order that things can happen. I suppose in the story of Moses taking the children of Israel across the Red Sea, Moses was asked to put the stick forward and to touch the Red Sea, and to make that first move. And all of us at different points in our lives are called to make the first move. And it's the first move that's always the scary move. It's always the frightening move. What happens if this doesn't work? But God invites us to enter into that kind of exploration and that kind of challenge. God truly honors those who seek to attempt great things for him. I don't know about you, but one of my favorite films is Chariots of Fire. And you know the film, don't you? You know the bit I'm going to tell you about. You know, and there, Eric Liddell is just about to start the race. He's put his professional career on the line for God. He's going to run a race that he's never run before. And someone comes up and puts that quotation in his hand. God honors those who honor him. God honors those who honor him. And then you see him scrunching that up, don't you? And then you see him running. And he throws his head back. And he runs the most awkwardly way. He runs the way that he shouldn't run. But he runs and he says, I run for his pleasure. Brothers and sisters, when was the last time you ran for God's pleasure? You just abandoned everything for God and you just ran for the goal in order to see and experience winning the prize. That's something of the feel of this sermon that I want you to leave and go away with this morning, that you've been inspired to do something wonderful. And maybe God has already inspired you. And maybe already you are. And maybe this morning you need to be encouraged that the road that you've set out on is the right road. And maybe there have been difficulties you've been facing and thinking, have I done the right thing or have we done the right thing? And to hear God's voice saying, run for my pleasure. Do your utmost. Do your utmost and let it be a difference in your life and other people's lives. I think this whole idea of using our gifts and our resources is so important in this congregation. Do I need to remind you of what God has done in our midst? Sometimes when I do, people afterwards put me in a corner and they say, you sounded as though you were boasting, Albert. And I don't want to boast about what God has done. I want to boast about what God has done, but not about what we have done. But has not God blessed us immensely over the years? Have we not seen amazing things happen? Is it not true? Or am I just deluding myself? We need to stop and take a breath and say, wow, look what God has done in our community. But the question is, God wants to do more. God wants to do more, much, much more above than that which we've even asked or even thought about. So the first thing is I want you to reflect without me telling you all the things, because I don't want people to think I'm boasting. But I want you to think and reflect on all that you know that's happened out of this place. And it is mind-blowing. Need I recall to you, over 10 years ago, we started a cycle run. Remember it, Mike? And we had a big bus out that we bought a bus. Remember the bus we bought, the resources of the bus? Remember we toured around. This is just a minor escapade. We toured four cathedrals. And there was people touched in Glasgow Cathedral. Over 400 people came forward for prayer. And God was working in their lives. There are stories that have come out of that are amazing. And that's just one incident in 1 week of our lives together as a congregation. Could you not help but be moved this morning as Jacob, a little boy in a jungle, was healed because of a big iron boat going up the Amazon? It's not meant to be there, but it was meant to be there because God is doing amazing things. Seeing what God is doing, sometimes we can be so close to something that we don't see it, and we need to be reminded of what God is doing. But understanding the extent of the vision. What's your church about? What's this congregation about? If I was to ask you what's about, surely you can tell me, because you see it on the notice board. A congregation called to serve locally, to serve nationally, and to serve internationally. A congregation of people longing to be used by God in all these areas to bring glory to His name. That's what we're about as a congregation. And one of the things I want to talk to you this morning about is about moving beyond our relationships to practicalities. One of the things you cannot do, you cannot make a change in the world unless we have the right relationships. We need to build, and we are trying to build our relationship with Christ, growing closer with the Lord in our daily walk and our daily prayer lives. Building these relationships with one another so that we can trust one another, so that we can work together as a team. Remember, I was talking about teamwork last Sunday morning, about the importance of us being in a team. Did you remember to pray for somebody this week? Have you got them in your mind? Remember, I told you, mentor someone, look out for someone in the congregation that you're going to be praying for. Oh, I just reminded you about that. You forgot. That's okay. I'll remind you next week as well. Building a team. What is God doing in this congregation with you to become part of that team? The relationships are so important. But also the practicalities. And this is where we come to this passage in Isaiah 54 this morning. And look at it. It's a great passage. I know it's old-fashioned language, but it says, "Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear." You know, sometimes we look at the Church of Scotland and people say to me, where are the young people? Where are the people in the church? Where are the churches are empty? And I hear the message that God's saying to us this morning is, you know, you're maybe barren, but I'm going to do something here. You're going to see growth. You're going to see something happen here that you could never believe. And you've already seen it. God's saying, do you not trust me? Do you not believe me? Have you not seen what I have done in the past over the last years? Can you not see it? Get ready for what I am going to do now. But if I'm going to do it, I need you to step into the water. I need every one of us to step forward. I need every one of us in faith to believe that God is about to do something in our midst that will change our lives and change our community. Sing, O ye barren ones. The emptier your church is, the better. Because I'm going to do something that's going to bring about renewal. You're going to have children. You're going to have children. You're going to be able to look after them. You're going to have more people than you would ever imagine. This is what Isaiah's saying. This is what God's saying to Israel. And what does Isaiah then say to them? He says this, enlarge the place of your tent. The practicalities, get ready. Get ready for what I am going to do. Enlarge the place of your tent. If you were to work here during the week, you would find people trying to find places to do things in this church because we don't have the places to do them. We often run, as you know, the holiday club at the beginning of the year, at the beginning of the summer, at the end of the summer term, beginning of the new church term, usually in August, September. And we can see the opportunity for children to come and be part of all that. We can see the opportunity of young mums wanting to bring their families to church. But then we often then reduce them to go into this little room next door, which is unfair. People come to worship, they want to be part of worship, but why would they come? And that's one of the reasons why I think one of the things we need to do is find a way to alter the church in some way so that we can include people. The Kirk Session's looking at this, but we need to do more than look. We need to do something about it, but we need to have a passion for it. What is God saying to us? Enlarge the place of your tent. I remember years ago, a guy called Tom Houston preaching on this. And I get really excited listening to his sermon because it was a fantastic sermon. And one of the things he said was, enlarge your tent. And he was talking about the Bedouin. You know the Bedouin tent? And he says, how does a Bedouin enlarge his tent? You know, get the cords, stretch out your cords. But when you stretch out your cords, then you've got gaps, haven't you? Because you need to cover the tent. And you know, I was listening to the sermon and saying, that's right. How do you cover the tent? He says, you need to slay the sacred cows in order to take the skins to make something new and wonderful. And that's always stayed with me, Tom Houston's interpretation of that, slaying the sacred cows. The things that we say, oh, we can't do that. Do you know what? To enlarge the place of the tent for God's glory, we can. And we need to think about these things and be inspired by that. And so that first text this morning is reminding us that God is calling us to put the stakes deep in, because the tent needs to be bigger. We need to see how we do that. We need to pray about it. We need to believe that God is going to do something, and we need to encourage one another to do it, because God is going to do something amazing. Do we believe that? The second thing is this. It's a passage that came to me, and it's this passage in Ephesians 4, verse 19. We say, well, how are we going to do it? Because we're all poor. God says, I will supply your need according to my riches and glory. God says, have you seen my bank balance? My God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory. And God will move people's hearts to give money into the work of the kingdom when they see things happening. Do you know, it's a funny thing. Walter has been talking, and you know we've been praying for increased offerings and giving to increase. I'm going to share something with you. Last night I was speaking to Stephen, and Stephen started to go to St. Paul's and St. George's in Edinburgh. And Stephen told me, Dad, there were 4 sermons preached in St. Paul's and St. George's, and after the 4th sermon, the offerings increased by 50%. I said to Stephen, I'll need to phone Dave Richards up and ask him for those sermons. But it wasn't the sermons. It was God touching people's hearts. My God shall supply all your needs. Walter's been talking about our needs. This morning I opened an envelope from somebody. It's anonymous, so I don't know who they are. So I want to thank them if they're in the congregation, and I want to thank them if they're outside the congregation. But I opened an envelope, and there were £4,000 in it today for the work of his congregation. Is that not, if any preacher needs an encouragement to preach on this topic, is that not God saying to him before he goes in, don't be afraid of the people who wince and say, oh, he's on about money again, because my God shall supply all your needs. And it's been a long time since I've talked about money, but when I need to talk about it, I will. My God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. How encouraging is that to us? That God, and then Julianne was reminding me, we were talking about it earlier on, just a few years ago when Willie was going up the Amazon with the boat and he needed £5,000, the equivalent of £5,000 to sort out, remember, the pilots and the bandits and the, remember he called them, whatever he did, Willie had these names for them. But the amazing thing was is that in that very week in the office in came the money that was required, and Julianne opened it and was absolutely overwhelmed to see that money and knowing that we'd been praying about it. My God will supply all your needs. You see, we need to be bold. We need to take that step of faith. And perhaps God's speaking to me about this and saying, the way you do things and work with Vine Trust, Albert, is you step out in faith and do I not supply what you need? So we too, as a congregation, need to step out in faith and believe God, that God will supply all our needs. And then it came to me, a passage in James. You have not. Why? Because you don't ask. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. Can I ask you, what is it that God's calling put in your heart in ministry in this congregation? Where are you burning to serve? Is it in the Bounce Higher working with the children? Is it with teenagers? Is it with the elderly? Is it in pastoral needs? Is it in worship? Because all of these things are worship, by the way. All of these things are worship. Our daily walk is worship. Worship is not about singing the right worship songs. That's where we get it all wrong. And we think, oh, this church is not alive because it's not got the latest praise songs in the repertoire. Forget it. It's much deeper than that. Worship is about the way we live, our every day, our every move, our every walk, our talk, our actions. You have not because you ask not. And then when you ask for the wrong things. And that's me. Lord, send us a 50-piece orchestra to lead us in worship. And God says, I've given you what you need. I've given you Neil, and I've given you Graham, and I've given you Trudy, and I've given you Graham. I say, oh Lord, and thank you, because they're great. My God will supply all your needs. And then he says, I've given you this one, and I've given you that one. But Lord, why aren't they getting involved? They just need to step into the water, Albert. I can't make them. They have to step forward. Their heart has got to say, I want to serve. I want to do it. Because God doesn't want conscripts. He wants willing volunteers who say, send me. You know, I always get touched by every time I read that passage in Isaiah. You know the passage in Isaiah chapter 6 where Isaiah is listening and he sees the Lord high and lifted up, and then the Lord says, who will I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah's hand up and says, send me, send me. We all want to hold back and wait till somebody twists our arm up our back and then say, okay, I'll go, but you know, just to be bursting with the energy to serve. Here am I. Send me. Whatever you ask me to do, Lord, I'll do it with all my heart. And finally, the passage this morning in Luke chapter 16. Fascinating passage. God wants you to use your ingenuity. He wants you to be smart in the way you serve. And if the world knows how to do things, and if they will go to all extremes to make money, and you watch that film, it's interesting, The Inside Job, and how connived people are to make money. What Jesus is really saying is, if we could set that passion to share Christ, to feed the hungry, to care for the poor, we could use our creativity to make such a difference. But we need one another. And somebody's saying, well, you know, the people that need to hear this sermon are not here this morning. No, that's not right. The people who need to hear this sermon are here this morning, because you're the people that God is calling on this first step. Some of you were never even meant to be here this morning. Why are you here? Because God is calling you to get involved. Are you not excited? May God speak to us in a profound way today, as He has already, to see that He is wanting to bless the work that's happening here. And He is blessing us. And let's pray for all the work that goes on, for the staff, for the elders, for all the volunteers, for the people who are spending hours upon hours of their time, whether it be looking after money and writing out checks and paying bills, whether it is writing up an agenda for a business meeting to make sure everything's in order, whether it's coming to serve tea, whether it's coming to clean the church. And what a joy it is, I'm just going to say this publicly, what a joy it is when we had Liz, who used to come and worship here and clean this church, and she did it with a lovely heart. And we wondered, who could we ever get to replace Liz? And God sent along Anna. And Anna follows in the same track, seeking to do her very best, serving, cleaning, brassoing with great joy. And she's part of this wonderful team that God is bringing in this place. Isn't that amazing? Let us this morning go from here, filled with joy.